You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast. I know I say this every week, and I say the same thing every week when I start the show. But my guest is running a little bit late, it looks like to me. But nonetheless, you know, I can handle it. But I'll just talk away. A few things going on. Stars with a Z, psychics.com is undergoing some new changes on the main page, so I'm excited about that. I saw Tony, my webmaster, doing some testing, and I've been talking about our my Stars tarot cards going up in Google Play. It's going to be a Google app. Looks like he was testing that. It's an API. It tests the application to the site, going back and forth, make sure the payments are going to be accepted and all that kind of. He was testing all day today, so I saw that. You know, I don't miss a beat. I see everything that's going on. But anyways, that's a new thing. We've still got our one question for $5, and we've got our other specials going on. And also I want to tell everybody, if you already have an account, you can get the member rate until December 31st of this year. That's my little gift to everybody. We have a member rate and a non-member rate, and it's something that I wanted to do so that everybody could reap the rewards, so that's good. Also, mysticlivingtoday.com, I'm sending out notices for submissions. Today I started in, you know, poetry, excerpts, articles, press releases, you name it, just send it to starscast@mysticlivingtoday.com. And I see my guest has arrived, so let me bring him in, and you're going to just, this man, this is the third time he's on. I'm going to ask him something in the beginning because of what he does, but hold on, we're going to bring him in here. I hope. David, it's Natalie, how are you?
Natalie, great to be back with you.
I know, I was just telling the guests, I'm going to ask you, this is David Essel, for those who don't know. This is his third time on. He was on back, well, actually we tried in October to get him in, but, you know, Blog Talk Radio was having its issues. He's got so much to talk about. He's an author, a motivational speaker, a radio TV host. He's a life coach. I mean, I could go on and on and on. He writes so many books in 1 year. But I'm going to ask you a question, David. I was thinking to myself before the show started, I wonder what David would do if I came on and I wasn't in this happy, happy mood. What would you do? Would you fall on the floor?
I would. First of all, I go, this is an imposter. This is not Natalie. That would
That's
be
right.
My first response. Is that can't be
Yeah,
Natalie.
Who is talking on this phone? This is not her, right?
No, exactly, right? And you and I have very similar personalities. You know, we know we're here to serve the world. We know we're here to bring passion. We know we're here to help people. So if you came on anything different than you are right now, I know it wasn't really you.
Right, right. But you know, it's really funny. You've probably seen this when you've talked to, I don't want to call them patients, but clients. They come in and they're not in this really good mood. You can tell right away. All you have to do is close your eyes and listen to their voice.
Yes.
The voice tells an awful lot. I mean, I think it does. I don't know about you. Does it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the voice carries confidence or insecurity. It carries awareness or judgment. It carries every emotion that we could imagine. And what you just said is really interesting, Natalie. If people were to sit in a room and everyone closed their eyes and they started talking about a conversation, if there were four people in the room, you'd be able to pick out really quickly who's secure, who's not, who's knowledgeable on this topic, who's not. There'd be amazing things because we wouldn't have body language to look at to try to make a judgment. The voice would tell us everything. And if you listen closely to people, you can tell a lot about them from the way they speak.
You really can. And with that, like, test, you couldn't have eye contact either, so you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know a thing.
No.
All you'd have to do is say, number one, talk. Number two, talk. Unless they were like
exactly.
me and they wanted to play a game, and you'd say, well, it sounds like Natalie, but it can't be her. It just can't be.
But it
does happen. I mean, you're always, every time you come on the show, you're always so happy. And I'm sure, and everybody's thinking, oh, he's got to have days when he's not always like this. Are you?
Oh, God, yeah. But you know what, Natalie, and this is the truth. I have days that are very difficult, extremely difficult. But you will not ever know it unless you happen to be in my house. I don't show the world. I show the world who I am. And I show the world
yeah.
this individual that is here to make a difference. But on those days that I really struggle, no, those are days that I will find a way to process on my own. I won't bring my whatever pain I'm in, I won't bring it to a waitress. I won't bring it to a convenience store. I won't bring it anywhere.
I do the same thing. I do the very same thing. Sometimes I think to myself, you know, it's not that the days are really that bad. It's just, like you said, they're difficult. But if I had to go someplace, I'm like a different person. Nobody would ever know.
Yep.
Nobody would ever
Natalie,
know. I sound just like I am right now.
2 months ago.
What makes us do that? Why do we do that?
Well,
we're just so
I
good.
Only share a, 2 months ago, my beautiful little dog died, who I had for 8 years. He was a rescue. The first couple years I had him was really hard. He had been abused just brutally, and so it took a long time to gain his trust. And about 8 weeks ago, he died. And he died when I was on a radio show, Natalie. I was doing an interview on radio. He was sitting right next to me. And all of a sudden, during an interview, just like the one you and I are having now, there was this outrageous shriek. I mean, I've never heard a sound like this at all. And the host said to me, oh, my God, what was that? And I said, I don't know. And I turned to my left just as my little dog, Saint, his head hit the chair he was sitting in. And he died instantly. And I freaked, you know, we were still live on the radio. I jump up screaming, please don't die, please don't die. And I grabbed him. I ran into the bedroom. I started CPR. My assistant, Mary Lou,
right.
started mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on him. We thought we got him back for a second, but then he went again and he never came back. That
yeah.
day, I was on the radio. I had to come in, and for the next 3 days, I had a full bank of sessions. And like I do every day. And I could not, in my profession, I could not allow that to have any interference with my clients. And so I had to mourn, and I had to do everything else on my own time. But when I was in the office, the day he died, not one person knew what was going on. And now, that to me is important. Now, other people may have to process it a little differently. I'm not judging anyone. But the one thing I say
know.
To people is that, you know, if you're in the middle of trauma and you don't know how to self-regulate, we call it, which means to have control of your emotions. If you're in the middle of trauma and you haven't learned or you don't have the power to self-regulate or the trauma is so intense that no one could self-regulate, then stay away. You know, go into your house, go into a church, go get help, but don't bring yourself into public if you don't have to. If there's a way to avoid it while you're in deep pain, please do.
Exactly. You know, I'm going to go back quite a few years, but I lost my parents 5 months apart, which was less than 5 months apart. It was very difficult for me as an only child. But nobody knew what I was going through, nobody. And then, of course, when my husband passed away 7 years ago, nobody on the sites, any of my sites knew. I didn't tell anybody. It was like I didn't miss a beat. So we are very similar. Something kicks in. I don't know what it is. It's something within us. We present ourselves. I mean, I went to the store. I didn't carry anything outside of my house with me. Nobody knew, and people on the that worked for me, and I had quite a few at that time, even more than I have now. I didn't send out this general email, and I didn't post it anywhere. Nobody knew. Nobody knew. And I don't know why. I am a private person. Are you a private person, too? You must be.
Oh, extremely. As a matter of fact, you know, I am one of the biggest introverts in the world. In my work, I'm obviously a very strong extrovert, but my natural personality type is that I'm an introvert. I don't need outside stimulation to be happy or to be excited about life, you know. And when I'm not working, I am usually on my own.
Yeah, and you're productive. And see, I'm the same way. I mean, right now I'm doing the bookkeeping for my site. It's huge, you know, and it's just numbers, and I take breaks and all that kind of stuff. But yet I leave it here. I mean, because you're in a different world. I mean, it's like this is my three monitors with my towers. This is my baby right here. I mean, all of it. This is my buddy. This is my good friend. And it sees me. It's really funny, David. It sees me at my worst times, probably. Sometimes when I'm crying about something, and you know, it just is. And things like that happen. And I want everybody to know out there, listening to us, you say, "Oh my God, they're always so happy." Well, you're hearing us with this higher level in our voice. You are hearing it, but that doesn't mean that we don't have days like you have. And I think, and David, you could say that you're not like this, but I think we're very similar in that you have to agree that when you're home, that's you. That's a different person that's there. When you're out amongst people, I mean, I can be as low can be, going to a grocery store and offer to help somebody with their groceries or take something off the shelf, and I'm not very big. I'll get on my toes. Oh, wait a minute. We'll get somebody. Sir, can you come over here? Now? I mean, it's like I step out of myself and I'm somebody else.
Yeah.
And which is really nice to have. It is nice to have that you can do that. It's like you shed a layer, I guess, you know, and then you become something else. And because that's the only way that you, and I know you, David, that you could help all these people. Because you have to have that ability to do that. Nobody will ever know what's going on with you, not really, unless they're very close to you or they're in your house, like you said. And I don't know. Are there a lot of us? I hope there are.
I think, you know, there's more than we could ever believe, Natalie. Here's the good news. There are more people that are learning the art of self-regulation. They're learning the art of controlling their emotions. They're learning that they don't need to include everyone in the world on their mini traumas or huge traumas. There's more and more people. And, you know, let me give you an example I read in the New York Times just to sort of take this a step further. The New York Times this past weekend was talking about the current impeachment that's going on, the setup anyway, for the potential impeachment. And they said, the Times was shocked that only 47% of Americans are paying attention to it. And I know why. You know, it's like people are getting smarter over the years. And the reasons why we're not, you know, there isn't 99% of the population eyes glued to the television is because we've gone through this enough. We know the drama that comes out of the Washington Capitol. We know all that. And, you know, people are tired of it. And so instead of being engaged and like all, you know, like we probably 40 years ago, if something like this was going on, oh my God, it would be like, you know, a shuttle going to the moon, for God's sake. Everyone would have TVs on, you know, in the office and gathered around and watching the impeachment stuff. People are getting burned out. And I think there are more and more people that are taking time for themselves, Natalie. They have the confidence. Yeah, they have the confidence. And for those listening that feel like they need to be on top of every gossip, every conspiracy theory, all I can say is that we are wasting a lot of energy and time in our life. And people that are living a more simplistic life are actually more at peace. They're happier than those that are trying to keep up on everything going on in the world. And that's a good thing. So I see this expanding. I see the way that you and I live is going to become more of the norm as people wake up and realize that you can't listen to everything in the media and believe either side. You know,
and not everything. There's a saying, don't believe everything you read and only half of what you see. But don't even believe half of what you see. Believe 1/16th of what you see. I mean, I have friends that, you know, follow some of these movie stars and, oh, she's with this one. I said, you know what? Unless I see it with my own eyes, I don't believe any of it. And that's, you don't believe anything you read and only half of what you see as far as media, PR, all that kind of stuff. And that's the truth. That's the truth.
Oh, it is.
There's so much garbage out there, you don't realize it. But, you know, if you're an empath like I am, and there are people that are listening that are, and you watch stuff, like what's going on TV now, hour after hour after, it's going to make you physically ill.
Exactly.
Because you have to understand, you have no control over it. And you're going to be taking in all of this information hour after hour, day after day. He said, she said, they said, all of that. But you know what? When you think about it, does it really affect your daily life? No. You can let it affect your daily life, but it doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
yeah.
you can listen to the news, you on the top of the hour or whatever, but don't sit. I started watching stuff and on this, and it was making me ill. And I sat up, and my cat's with me, and his name is Mushy. I said, Mushy, we are leaving. We are leaving. I shut the thing off and went in my office, put my headset on with my music. I love music. And I was good to go, and I was happy, and I felt good. But you see, it will take over you. Like you cannot believe if you're a super empath like I am. You're probably an empath too, David, I'm thinking, because we're so similar. Although I could not do what you do, because I could never go on stage.
Okay.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
but somebody like you say, oh, here, Natalie, come up here. Come up here and let's talk. I mean, you drag me up there because you would know my personality because you've known me now, you know. And I can be real quiet when I'm in a group of people. You don't even know I'm there.
Mm.
I probably have many personalities. I don't even know it. but that's what I can do. I can get really shy. I was shy in school. But let's talk more about you. But this is enjoyable. I mean, everybody's listening, and they like to hear the inner goings-on of somebody, and because we've talked before, but even the first time I talked to you, we went over overtime, and I told your publicist that, and he was laughing. He says, oh, my God, why? I said, because we just talk, and that's the beauty of it. But, you know, but people like listening to this. They want to know, oh, are they really real? You know, we hear them, like you, especially you, because of what you've done. This past year, you've put out, what, 5 books? Is that right? 6? 5? Let's see.
Oh, well, we have 3 that came out this year. You're close. and I am,
because I've got it all in front of me. My gal does, well, you know, your publicist sends me all the info. But then my gal goes off and loads up your website, and she goes looking around. She does the content for me. And I've got 1, 2, 3. I know there's more than 3. There's 5 of them. 5? Is that right?
We mean books?
Yeah, this year.
Oh, this year. I have 3 books that came out this year. We have Angel on a Surfboard, which was our romantic novel set in Hawaii.
We talked about that last time, I think. Yep.
But that one came out. And then after that is my children's book, The Real Life Adventures of Catherine Cavalli the First.
Yes, that's
the
one we talked about also. And then your last one we did not talk about. And I have to get your publicist to send it to me because I do not have it. How to Experience Heaven on Earth, a Life-Changing Story for Today, Tomorrow, Forever. Now, that I'm getting from you that is close to your heart, is it?
Oh, my God, Natalie. This book is amazing. Matter of fact, the woman that wrote the foreword to it said, this book is unlike any other book David Essel has ever written. And it's true. You know, I've had a very deep spiritual path for, God, 30 plus 40 years now. This is the culmination. Yeah, this is the culmination. And how this happened, Natalie, you know this next word I'm going to use, and I'm sure your audience does too, but How to Experience Heaven on Earth, our most recent book, it was 100% channeled through me. And when I say 100%, just like the book Angel on a Surfboard, these two books, Natalie, I had no outline written. I had nothing whatsoever. And one day I woke up and I was having coffee and I journal every morning. And as I'm journaling, I get this message that comes through me that says, the young monk in the monastery is disturbed by what he's feeling and what he's seeing. And I thought, what the heck is this about? Now, there is a little bit of a backstory. A couple years before I wrote this book, I had contemplated becoming a monk and joining a monastery that happened. There happens to be one left in the state of Florida. I had been researching monasteries. I was on that verge of making a decision to become a monk. I went and visited the monastery. I talked to the monks about potentially wanting to become a monk. And we had this amazing 3 days. I stayed there for 3 days. It was incredible, Natalie. But it was a couple years later when I decided that I wasn't quite ready to go into the monastery. A couple years later that I wrote this thing about a monk being unhappy with his choice to join the monastery. And it was free-form writing. I wasn't sitting to write a book. I wasn't sitting to write an outline. And then the very next day, every day when I got up to write, it was the voice of the young monk coming back. And he started to share these stories with me. And these stories I wrote down, you know, wherever this is coming from, it's simply a channeling experience. And at the end of, I don't think it was even 2 months, I had a complete book written about this monk who wants to experience heaven on earth. He thought going into a monastery was going to bring him to this place, but he realized that even in a monastery, there's incredible dysfunction between the monks. There's chaos, there's drama, there's jealousy. It's just like being in the real world. So then he started to spin everything that was happening in the monastery into this beautiful experience of being heaven on earth. And he became, you know, and for people that don't know how monasteries work, the monks are there to pray. Their number one goal is to pray to help change the world. But then within the monastery, Natalie, every monk has a different role. So the monastery that I went to visit, there was one monk who was in charge. He was the barber. He cut all 22 monks' hairs every month. There was another monk that did the food shopping. There was another monk that cooked. There was another one that did the accounting. You know, so they all have roles. There was another one that did the outside, the shrubs and the landscaping. So in this book, How to Experience Heaven on Earth, that we just released, the monk is in the monastery and he is the personal counselor for the lay people that live around the monastery. So there's people that are coming in going through a divorce and they can't forgive their former partner. And he teaches them how to take that anger and turn it into a positive experience. There's a story in there about a young actress who had made a huge name for herself while she was working in the diner during the week. On weekends, she had made this massive name for herself as this incredible actress. And she started to bring in understudies, other actors and actresses that wanted to be like her, and she was training them to be exceptional. And she was murdered in her apartment. And so the young monk is in the monastery, and he knew this young lady very well, and he's filled with grief. And then he goes to an older monk, and he says, I don't know how to process this. I don't know how to turn this into something good. And the older monk said, sit down. He said, now let's look at the full picture. It is outrageously sad that this young woman was killed in her apartment. We can't escape that. But let's look at the next thing. Do you realize that one of her understudies now are going to have a chance to fill her shoes, that they're going to have an opportunity they never would have gotten? She trained them. They're prepared, but there was no opening. Now that she's gone, there's an opening. And he looked at every story within this book in that way, Natalie. He learned how to turn these tragedies and frustrations into experiences of being heavenlike, which is the whole purpose of the book. And what we say to people is that, you know, so many times when we think of heaven, it's this esoteric place. You know, there's cherubs dropping grapes in your mouth. There's an old man with a long white beard.
Big gates and all that kind of stuff.
You know, and it's like what we wanted to do is to say, wait a second. Why are we waiting to experience heaven on earth when right here, right now, you know, if the laughter of a little child is heaven on earth, the watching a puppy chew on an old sandal, hopefully, is heaven on earth. You know, looking at your partner or a great friend. I was on a television show in Syracuse on Monday promoting this book. And I've been on the television show multiple times, and I've gotten to know the host just like I have you, you know, like really well. We have a blast. And I said to them, let me give you an experience of heaven on earth. When I walk into the studio and sit down on your set, none of us can stop smiling. We can't wait to see each other. I haven't seen them in 5 months, I think, the last time I was on their TV show. I go, this is heaven. Natalie, when you and I are on the phone, this is heaven. This is enjoyable. Yeah. It's filled with joy and love and all this other stuff that people are waiting to die to go experience. And we go with our book, don't wait to die, experience heaven now.
Exactly. And, you know, there are some guests that I have, of course, you know, I never had met you. And the first time it was just like perfect. I mean, we went an hour and 90 minutes or whatever it was. But sometimes, though, I have someone, and, you know, I get the content from my gal Jackie, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be tough. This is going to be tough because you don't know. You know, you don't hear their voice, so you don't know, and they don't know me. And every time, I have not had one that it didn't go really well. But you know, at first I thought, you know, we always chat a little bit, you know, I'm going to tell you what I do and all of this kind of stuff. But sometimes you just get this feeling because of what they've written, maybe they're a doctorate or a doctor or whatever. And you think, oh God, they're so educated and everything. How am I going to handle this? You know, but I'm telling you, David, just like you. You step into it. You just do it. And I've told Jackie before. Oh, one man was a trial attorney, and I thought to myself, he wrote a book, so somebody wanted me to interview him. Well, okay, you know, I'm game for anything. I'll interview anybody. I mean, I can talk to anybody, just like you, David. We can talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes on the show, and we get to talking. And, you know, I tell him, you know, that a little bit about my background, I went to Catholic church and all that kind of stuff. And we started talking about spirituality. All of a sudden, we switched gears, and he was no longer a trial attorney to me. He was just a person, a really nice gentleman, that we talked about prayer and everything, and he paid me one of the nicest compliments. He said to me, you know, Natalie, we were talking about praying and meditating. I do that. I'm sure you do also, David. And he said, you know, Natalie, I think you pray when you sleep. And I said, why? He said, I just have this feeling about you that you're always praying. I said, well, sometimes I talk to God and it's not always really nice. You know, I mean, I give my little dissertation in the morning. You know, like, well, this is a fine, how do you do? What do you call what you just did today or yesterday or last week? I mean, this is bad. You got to fix this. I mean, you know, so we laughed about it. But that interview went so well. And after that one, I thought to myself, and I told Jackie, there isn't one I'm not going to be able to do ever. Because that man, I just thought, oh, okay, I don't even know what he wrote. It was a story. It was a love story, actually. And it was nice. It was really, really nice, you know. But I think you probably do that also, David, like this book that you wrote. You see, it can relate to everybody on earth, actually. You can have heaven right now. You don't have to die to experience it. And that's true.
That's
right. Need to remember that every single day, every single day. But even for the people that are listening, you know, David and I sound like, oh, we don't ever have really bad days, but we do. We do. You know, we'll get up. We do, don't
Natalie
you, David?
Speaking.
I mean, you have a day where,
oh,
I got to go do this, or I just want to just sit and do nothing. I want to sit outside. I don't want to do anything.
Yeah, I think most of us do. You know, going back to having a hard day, on Monday when I was in Syracuse on the station, one of the co-hosts said to me, we were talking about heaven on earth, and she said, okay, listen, I want your help. How do I turn what happened this morning with my young son into something like heaven on earth when I'm really angry? And I said, well, what happened? She said, well, I get to work. I have to be at the station. I get a phone call. My son missed the bus. Now I am angry. He was plenty prepared. He should have made the bus. Now I have to leave work, go get him, take him to school, and come back to work. And I'm angry. How does your book help me? I said, I'll give you the exact answer. I said, imagine this. When you left him, did he know you were angry? Yes. Okay, when you go home, if I was in your shoes, I would do this. I would say, you know, I've got to tell you something, honey. I got a chance to see you more often today than I ever do. What a blessing
exactly.
for mommy. I want you to be prepared for school tomorrow, but I have to tell you, I am so lucky as your mom to have a chance to come home and see you more than I ever do. See, Natalie,
right.
it's a change of the mental framework, right?
It's well,
like,
it
I understand.
It
it's, yeah, I understand her frustration, and I wasn't going to say, I'd never said you shouldn't be frustrated. I said, I understand that, but we can turn it around now. We can go and we can tell him that he's so special to us and such a blessing in our lives that we're glad we had a chance to see him extra. And now that might seem a little esoteric for some people, or it might seem a little Pollyanna-ish, but in the world we're living in, I think we need more of this, not less. We need more people that are going to be sharing stories of how to turn the challenges of life into successes versus just continuing to complain and bitch about things that aren't going our way. And
that's
like
right.
I mentioned in the book, you know, How to Experience Heaven on Earth, every chapter is a different experience the monk goes through where he has to learn how to change that reference of mindset so people are less stressed in this world and more optimistic, more filled with joy and love. And he does it in every chapter now, Natalie. It's incredible.
I must get that. I must. And I think everybody should get it because it's each sounds like each chapter, well, not I want to say a lesson learned, but you're going to learn. From every experience,
no,
you're going to learn
what,
from every one
said,
of them.
Natalie, what you just said is exactly it. Every chapter is a lesson learned. And as a matter of fact, they're called lessons or teachings.
Oh.
You know, like every – so you have good psychic abilities, girl, because that's what the book is like, you know, And before we end the show, I want to do a spoiler alert, and I'd love to read the last page of the book
okay.
to give people, you know, I think it would be really good. We can do it at any time you'd like to, but I'd like to do it before we leave.
We will.
Yeah.
So, now, do you have another book coming? I mean, this one was done back in August. Oh, my God, you're slowing down here, David.
I know. Well, that's funny. Natalie, January 15th, our new book comes out. So it's already written. We are ready to go. It'll be out January 15th. And that one's going to be just, you know, I think it's going to be a blockbuster. The title of that book is Love and Relationship Secrets, .. that everyone needs to know now.
Right. And everybody
and
needs to know
out.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. These are, you
yes.
know, and a lot of the secrets in the book are things that people know, but they're not using, they're not activating. And then there are other secrets that people go, God, I've never heard of this before. And it's not about, like, you know, how to have better sex or anything like that. Love and Relationship Secrets is really about how do I bond more deeply? How do I communicate more honestly? How do I set boundaries around friendships, family members, and lovers? You know, it's really the secrets that bring us high self-esteem and confidence while we're in the world of relationships, and everyone is in relationships. It doesn't mean you have to be in a romantic one, but we're all in relationships with coworkers,
exactly,
neighbors, family, friends.
And then you'll have heaven on earth.
Yeah, I love it.
Of course, you will.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, and you know, people are listening and thinking, well, okay, so you think about your day. Think about, you know, everybody says, well, you should wait. I always meditate in the morning. I have my coffee and my cats by my side, and I meditate. I don't have anything on. My phone's turned down, blah, 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 blah. And I spend as much time as I need. Sometimes it's a couple of hours. It depends, because I'm up late doing things. And I love to watch movies. I'm a movie freak.
Okay.
I love stuff like that. But you need, I think, and I, do you meditate also, David?
Every morning.
There you go. I mean, I shouldn't even question what you do, because you're exactly like I am. You are the male Natalie.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, we're very similar. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
I don't, and I'm just sharing similarities with personalities here. I don't really get angry unless I don't like people stealing money from me, like on my site. Oh, that's a no-no. No-no.
Mm-hmm.
And don't hurt the people that I really love, because, I mean, I've told you before, I think, David, my granddaughter calls me Grambo. Like Rambo, she calls me Grambo.
I love it. That's so good.
She'll call me Gram. Grambo? Now, Grambo, what do you think? You know, and I'll just, and I said to her one day, why do you call me that? She said, because I think, because I'm small. I'm 5'2", and I'm about 100 pounds now. And she'll say, because you could fool somebody. They would not expect anything coming from you, because they don't know. And she says, that's why I call you Grambo, just like Rambo. It's the cutest thing. But you see, that's the thing. Don't ever, and I'm sure it's the same with you, with people in your life. You know, just be wary. I mean, we don't really get mad. I mean, we don't go cuckoo crazy and throw things and all of that. At least I don't think you do either. I mean, I'm saying that you don't, because we are just so similar with our personalities. But I think there are things that will touch a nerve with us, but it's got to be really bad. I mean, I'm like a defender. I've told people before that there's probably a lot of things I could do that I never thought I could do if I had to sit down and think about it. But if I had to do it, I could do it. I could do it.
Sure.
You know, my son and I talk about this all the time. I've always wanted to fly a plane. And my son said to me, because it's a story with my dad, he used to take me to the airport in Detroit. It was called City Airport. And my son said to me, well, Mom, do you think you could fly? I said, if the plane was in trouble and there were a lot of people, you betcha, I could do it. I mean, I'd call whoever I had to call. I'd get good contacts. And he said, Mom, we'd make such a great team, because he's always wanted to fly too, just like my dad. So sometimes we'll imagine ourselves flying. Okay, here we go. You know, but I love planes. But anyways, there are things that we can do that you don't think you can do, but you can. But I think it's within certain personalities that you can, you know, like you're the same way, David. I just know there are things that you could do that, I mean, you don't do them every day, but if when push comes to shove, you could do it. You could. Now, is there something?
One of the things that you know, I think it's so important for people to know, most of us don't come anywhere near tapping into our true potential and seeing what we can do. I tell this story a lot. I wrote books for 20 years before we got a number one bestseller. I have no background in literature, English, journalism. I just started writing 23 years ago because I wanted to. It wasn't like I didn't even think at that time I would ever have a number one bestseller. But I did it because I wanted to share a message. I wanted to get something out of my heart and soul on the paper. And then 20 years later, we get our first of now five number one bestsellers. But it took a long time. I think there's too many of us that play it safe. We stay in the comfort zone. We don't risk. And I really believe that life is to be lived. You know, in the book, How to Experience Heaven on Earth, the older monk, his mentor, says to him one day, you know, how come you haven't shared with anyone your goals, your dreams, your pain, your frustration? Why are you keeping it all inside? And that was a key opening for this young monk to learn that he needed to reach out and he needed to ask for help and ask for advice and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
I think too many times we're like the young monk before he got awakened. You know, we don't want to get uncomfortable. We don't want to fail. We don't risk enough. We stay in crap relationships too long. We stay with crap bodies too long. We stay with crap finances too long. When all along there are people that aren't as intelligent as we are, aren't as driven, aren't as smart, and yet they're accomplishing great things because they're out there taking risks.
Yeah.
You know,
most successful business people will tell you that. You know, everybody thought I was crazy when I wanted to do this, and they're million and billionaires. You know what I'm saying?
I think
you're really right about that. I mean, a lot of times I'm trying to think, I have a lady that's listening now, and she's so proud of me because she said, look what you've done. You went from, I learned everything. I mean, I really know a lot about computers, but I have one great webmaster, and then I have another one that I've had for 9 years, just top drawer, that I've learned a lot, but I wanted to learn. I do my own bookkeeping on QuickBooks. I learned from a CPA. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I could get five different kind of jobs because of what I put myself out to learn. And another compliment I got, and I'm sure you got these too, is that the guy that taught me how to do bookkeeping, he said, you know why you're doing so well? I said, well, no, why? I mean, I kind of played a little dumb.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because you ask questions and you're not a know-it-all.
Yeah.
He said, if there's something you can't do, you'll say, Vince, I don't know how to do this. How do I do it? He said, there when you're a teacher and you're trying to show somebody something, if they just say they don't know how to do it, I mean, that your eyes get really big, like, oh, boy, I get to teach her. I get to show her what I know. And that probably happened to you, too, in your life. But you know what? It's 8:42. Let's read that last page that you want to read before we forget. I don't want to miss that.
All right, so I'll do a little backstory. So at the end of the book, the monk has learned so much, and one of the things that he does is when he's not sure what to do or what to say, how to answer someone, he'll go and meditate by a brook or a creek, and he'll slow down and ask God for his advice. So this is the very end of the book, and it's only the last two pages. He was going towards the stream to meditate, and he thought of a favorite saying he had heard years ago, dance like no one is watching, and how important that was for everyone to do so that we may feel the true hidden spirit that resides within each of us, the spirit that wants to come out and play, the spirit that is full of compassion, tolerance, and love. He had now reached the clearing by the water, removed his robe, and sat to commune with nature, with God. After an hour of deep meditation, he stood to leave. He looked across the meadow just in time to see several deer snacking on the wildflowers, which were in full bloom. Could there be more to life than this? He wondered with a smile. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, there is, came a voice from behind him. The young monk almost jumped out of his skin at the sound of another voice in the woods. He turned to see the old monk laughing hysterically, sitting just 5 feet behind him. Brother Francis, the young monk screamed, my lord, you have the knack of doing what no one else can. How in the world do you think I'll make it to my next birthday when you sneak up behind me and scare me like this? Both men looked at each other for a brief moment and then started laughing in unison. My son, I was with you for your entire walk today. I twisted and danced with you as our outstretched arms were raised in praise of God. I was centered with you in the depth of meditation. I smelled the apples and watched the deer at the very moment you did. The young monk was baffled. Years ago, at the same place, the old monk had appeared, teaching him the most important lesson he had ever learned: to be free of our fears, our frustrations, our lack. We need to be willing to reach out and help anyone at any time. And we also must be willing to reach out and ask for the help we need in this ever-changing and challenging dance called life. There is more to life at this moment if you desire it to be so. The constant state of bliss is available for those willing to go to a place of incessant prayer, of nonstop gratitude for each moment, for every breath they breathe. For there really is nothing to fear, nothing at all, once we realize we are never alone. Heaven on earth is available to all who finally realize that step by step, the Lord is walking with us, behind us, and in front of us. The Lord is always here, though he may take on a variety of shapes and forms that are not always expected. As he does, each one is meant to teach us about love. As his voice began to trail away, the young monk turned to thank his wise sage, yet he was gone. In his place, just 8 inches from his face, stood a young deer. As their eyes connected, the deer stepped closer. Almost nose to nose, tears of joy streamed down the monk's face. This, my Lord, is heaven on earth. You do bless me indeed. At that moment, the deer took one more step forward. A tear dropped from her eye as she reached to touch the young monk's nose with hers. The monk saw for the first time the face of God. Enlightenment had occurred at the unlikeliest of places, as so often as it does. Slow down and let faith settle your soul and bring you home, home to yourself, heaven on earth.
How beautiful. The delicate eyes of a deer.
I know.
Sweet eyes of a deer. Oh, how beautiful.
Isn't that, it's just, and you know, this, and this was a gift. This whole book was just a gift, Natalie. I just sat and wrote. I never thought.
Well, you know,
wrote.
Yeah, I've had a few people that they'll talk about how they wrote their book and everything. And one lady actually teaches, she has a series on, you know, you just got to sit down every day. And if you can't do it every day, do it, just have something near you to write with. Or be at your computer, like on Word, Microsoft Word. I mean, I type like a maniac at warp speed, and just like I talk. And, you know, she told me, she said, just type. She said, you're probably going to get stuff on that monitor that you didn't even know was in you. Mm-hmm. And now, David, this is what happened to you. You channeled it all. And a lot of people don't understand what channeling is. Channeling is where you receive information from another source. It can be a person who's passed on. It can be someone you don't even know. It can be a guide. It can be an angel. It's kind of depends upon what your belief system is. But it's true. It's true. I think if we can, you know, and I hear, I'm clairaudient, and I'll hear sometimes when I'm not even realizing it, I'll hear like a bell or I'll hear something, right? And I'll stop and then I listen and I'll say to myself, well, you know, once you do that, it's not going to happen again. So go back to your work. And that's the truth. Because those kind of clairaudient moments don't come when you say, well, okay, I want to hear something right now. Well, it doesn't happen that way. You know, it just doesn't happen that way. But your monk look what he experienced, and look what you experienced, David, by channeling all of this beautiful information. All of this.
And Natalie, it makes me slow down, too.
Well, it really does. Of course it does. I mean, you know, I'm gonna contact him and tell him that your publicist, okay. I mean, I'll buy it, but I mean, you know, he'll send me whatever I want. I don't request
that. Oh gosh,
that
Natalie.
Often.
No, he'll send you a copy of it. You know that. That you don't have to buy.
Oh,
it.
I know
that's
he will.
Sure.
Oh, he's hilarious. He's my
yeah.
buddy.
He's great.
Well, they all end up being my buddies. I mean, and probably the same way with you, right? Don't you make acquaintances that, I mean, you're like, you've known each other forever.
Oh, you know, it's funny you say that. When I think of, so in our new book, you know, that I had reached out, I don't know if you've ever heard of a woman, her name is Scarlett Lewis. But
I think I have.
Okay, she would be great for your show. I met Scarlett in a sad way in that her son, Jesse, 6 years of age, was one of the children murdered in the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre.
Oh.
And after, you know, she had gone through that experience, I met her because of the experience she went through. And as a grief counselor, I wanted to interview her and talk to her. Not only to help her, but also to get out the message about how she handled the grief. And we write about her story in one of our number one best-selling books called Positive Thinking Will Never Change Your Life. But what you just said is true. I mean, Scarlett and I, just like you and I, Natalie, Scarlett and I had her on my older radio show one time. We fell into sync. I've had her back 3 or 4 times. I'm not doing the show right now, but I had her back a bunch of times. And then today we reconnected, and she's going to write the foreword for our new book on love and relationship secrets. And, you know, like just like my relationship with you, my relationship with Scarlett is filled with joy. It's like we've known
oh,
each
yeah.
other forever. You know,
I was happy.
And
I mean, I looked at Muji and I said, oh, time to go talk to David. It wasn't like, oh, God, I got to do this show. I don't think of it like that. It's like, I'm just talking to my buddy that I've known forever.
Yeah.
And that's what's great. And so people that are listening out there, you know, you have people in your life that you just connect with. Yes, there are people that, you know, no, they don't like me and I don't like them. And it was those people you stay away from. Don't worry about it. I've run into a few people in my life that you just don't connect. You know, but you and I connected right away. And then when I asked TJ about you, I said, well, you know, we tried to do the show, remember, in October, but we couldn't do it because Blog Talk Radio was down for 2 weeks. Okay. So I wrote him again. I said, you know, somebody canceled. And I said, you know, I said, how about David? Why can I get him?
Right.
And he wrote me back right away. And he said, let me find out. I'll confirm. And right away, you must have said, oh, yes, I'll do it. I mean, if you have it open, you'll do it. I mean, I knew that. I mean, I wasn't worried about you saying, oh, no, I don't want to talk to her. It'll be boring as all get up. No, not boring with Natalie, no. But
never.
I'm always so grateful when you come on the show because I have a twinkle in my eye. I just feel, you know, you resonate with each other. And there's this lady listening right now, and she's probably thinking to herself, she knows I've had some really bad days. And and she has worked with me, and, you know, and she's not that much older than me, but she mothers me. And I have another one that does the same thing, and I just love it. I just love it. You know, you have these two people that you'll probably never meet, you know, in person, but isn't it wonderful? And again, it's heaven on earth, David. I love the name of that book. And go to his site. Let's put this out. We still have time because we have extra time put on for you because Candy knows we always talk too long anyhow. go to his site. It's David Essel, DavidEssel.com. Everything is on there. His books are there. His shows are there. Specialty courses, one-on-one with you, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's amazing. It really, really is amazing. All your courses, my goodness, look at them all you have. You know, everything from Change Your Life Now course all the way down to, what is it? I don't even know what this last one is. I don't even want to know, probably because it's so, you've got so much going on here. I don't, and you're nonstop. Do you ever take time for yourself? Do you ever say, well, I'm not going to do anything today?
Well, I just came back from visiting my mom and dad. My dad has had a really rough time health-wise, and I went up and spent a couple days with them. And in those couple days, I didn't do a darn thing, Natalie. I just focused on my mom and dad. So, yes.
Well, I know I've seen pictures on your Instagram. Of course, I always like them and all of that because, you know, you're so proud of them. I can mm-hmm. see it when you take a picture with them. I can see it. Mm. Now, tell me, did you replace your little dog yet?
No, you know, we right now we're interviewing for another greyhound. I am a huge greyhound fan. You know, I've had the big greyhounds off the track, and then my last little guy that died is called an Italian greyhound, which is a miniature greyhound. And now I'm back in the process. Saturday I go to look at some of the retired greyhounds off the track to adopt again. So
do they still race the greyhounds? Do they still do that in Florida?
Yeah, unfortunately, everything ends at the end of 2020. So a year from now, all the tracks have to close, but they've got one more year.
Because they run the dogs ragged, right? Is that why? Because the dogs are, it's just like everything else, like the circus and all of that. What happens to these dogs? They just run them to the end, right?
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, you know, they treat them like crap. They really do. They treat them terribly. And then at the end, you know, if a dog has an injury, as a matter of fact, you know, whether people want to know the truth or not, I'm going to tell the truth. There was a dog that we heard about, a greyhound, about a month ago that had hurt its leg, you know, and the owner of the dog from the track sent it to a vet and said, put it down. I don't want to feed this dog. This dog can't make me any money. Just put it down. And the vet looked at the dog, and the vet didn't do it. The dog's leg was not broken in a way that, you know, threatened his life. He fixed the dog's leg.
It could be fixed. They can fix legs, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. And the vet told the owner that the dog was dead and gave it away to one of his customers. And, you know, that's the kind of insanity that these dog owners, these greyhound racetrack dog owners, they just treat them terribly. So when you get a greyhound off the track, Natalie, there's a lot of work to do. You know, they have quirks. A lot of them are very afraid of people because they're treated poorly. There's others that are just, oh, my God, they love you the second they see you. But you never know. The last greyhound that I got, you know, she would run into the sliding glass door because she never saw one before.
Right.
She was afraid, you know, she was afraid to go up and down stairs because she had never seen stairs before. So I love them. I think they're one of the best breeds on earth. And I love adopting because I feel like I'm giving them a real home for a change.
You are. You know, my daughter-in-law rescues bulldogs, English bulldogs, and you know, now my cat, my last cat, I had to have it put down. I was really sick, and then maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 days later, the gal at the desk called, and she says, there's a kitten here for you, and I said, you know, because she said, are you going to get another one? I said, no, it's going to have to find me. I'm not going to go searching for another one, and sure enough, it was my Muzzy. And she said, just take it home for the weekend, you know. Oh, sure. Take it home for the weekend, and you'll never bring it back. But that's my little man. He's my little man. He just like your dog. You know, they are your babies. They are part of your life, and that's it. And you have to have a pet to understand what that's like. And but, you know, I asked about getting another dog because that's the only way that – I don't want to say you get over the loss of a dog, but it's the only way you can go forth is you have to get another one. I learned that when I was a really young girl, and it's true. You're going to mourn that pet forever. And there's nothing wrong with it. But there is another little pet out there for you, like you're going to look, that you're going to give it a beautiful home. And just look, you're giving that dog heaven on earth. I'm going to be saying that to everybody.
I love it.
Thank you, David. I'm going to tell everybody about that. It's true. It's true. I mean, I love doing for people. I really, and I know you do too. I mean, you know, if I ever had an issue, I would call you. David,
thank
I need
you.
Help. I would call you.
I would help. Yep, good.
I have your
cell phone
number. You can't escape. but I would. You know what I'm saying? Because of your experience, because of knowing you, I don't even have to meet you. I just know that you would get to the bottom of it and you would help resolve it. So I do recommend people go, because this is my, I think this is my third time interview with you, that go to your site. You can take all these things. You can have one-on-one with David. Don't suffer. Go get help. I mean, you know, sometimes you can go to a therapist. You know, I was supposed to go to one, and I chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
And my doctor said, well, why not? I said, because I can cry on my own. I don't need to go to somebody's office and start at the very beginning and feel like crap every time I leave until I get to a point where, okay, you know my story. You know what I'm saying, David? Because that's what it's
mm-hmm.
like when you go to a therapist or a psychiatrist or any of that. That's what it's like. And so you have to, I would call you, definitely.
Well, you should. And if you need me, I am here for you, Natalie.
I know. And we're going to do this again when you have your other book out. Because, I mean, it's such a joy talking to you. I'm so happy to have met you. Your energy is very beautiful. And everything is about energy, people. You know, you got to give off good energy. Yeah, the world's not giving off a lot of good energy right now. That's why don't sit in front of the television. It's not good energy. Whether you love what's going on or you don't like what's going on, it's going to have an effect on you. Don't just go do something for yourself. Go sit outside, enjoy the birds, the trees, the grass. I mean, I'm in South Carolina, so it's still nice here. It's nicer where you are, though, David, I think. We're probably, you know, we're in the upper... We're in the low 70s right now, which is okay. I like it when it's near 90 or 95. I like it really warm because I'm originally from Michigan. And at this time up in Michigan, it's god-awful. I mean, it's ugly.
Oh, yeah, it's
horrible there. I don't like Michigan. I went back one time. I had to go back one time. But anyways, I like you, living in Florida. Florida and Carolina mornings are beautiful. They really, really are. They really, really are. So with that, I'm going to say thank you, David, again and again and again, because you're such a delight. I mean, we could talk about so many things. We could go on for hours and hours. And I'll write to TJ and he'll say, well, how long did you talk this time? Oh, well, 3 hours. But anyways,
well,
thank you. I'll know when the other book comes out because TJ will tell me.
TJ will be with you right away, yes.
Oh, yeah, because we're going to push it. When is it going to come out now, do you know?
January 15th.
Okay, well, sometime early spring or something like that. We'll give it a little time and we'll bring you back and we'll talk about that. And go to his site, please. I mean, you can hear in his voice how helpful he would be to you, how he would listen, and how he would care. And that's important. I mean, if Natalie would call him, if she had a problem, that's got to tell you something. Anyways, have a good evening, my friend. Much love to you. I'll see you on Instagram with my little hearts and all of that kind of thing. And that's what I do. If you like something on my page, I send you hearts. And David and I do that back and forth. He'll like my picture or something, and I'll like what he does, and we do that. And really, I love Instagram. I don't do Facebook, and I don't do Twitter. I have somebody else that does it. And I have to thank her before I go. Her name is Candy, and she's in the chat room right now. And she got into the room and she said, "Oh my gosh, I'm already enjoying the two of you." She's awesome. She does all the marketing and promoting and all that kind of good stuff, and it's wonderful. So much love to you. I'll talk to you soon, David, okay?
Okay, Natalie, have a great night. Thank you.
You too. Love you. Bye-bye. And before I hang up with the audience, I'm going to end the show like I always do, believe in things you cannot see, because they really are there. Good night.